Welcome back to another episode of the Live It Well podcast. I am your host, Richard Dedor, and I don't know where you're at, but where I live, spring has sprung. Now, there's always the chance that the snow will come back and have one final hurrah, but the hope is that we've crossed to the other side and spring is really here. And so for our first international guest to the Live It Well podcast, we're welcoming someone from north of the border, Julie Loren. And I'm so excited to share with you the conversation we had. Such an interesting person. And we agreed at the end that if we were in the same place or lived in the same city, we would definitely be coffee or beverage buddies. And so whenever we do end up in the same place, I guarantee that that will happen. Such a good conversation, and someone who has lived about 17 lives already. And we get into that. We get into her college experience. We get into how she got into microscopes and sharing her microscopic journey on Twitch, which was not a genre that I realized lived on Twitch, so that was fun. We talk about exploration and creativity. We actually taped this the day after the Mars lander Perseverance landed on Mars, so we kind of geeked out on that. So I apologize if you're not into space, but we both are you know, I love space and I respect space, but it's more so the potential and the curiosity that I have, and we shared that. So I just thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I really think you will too. Sit back, put your feet up, and let yourself explore the world around you with this conversation between me and Julie right after the break. Well, Julie, thank you so much for jumping on the Live It Well podcast. I'm super excited to have you on and learn more about your background, which is super interesting and diverse. And I know there's some nuggets in there that are going to be fun to get into. So before we get into the real nitty gritty, you are you enjoy science in a way that you use your microscope and things like that. But we're taping this the day after the Mars rover Perseverance landed successfully. Were you just like me and geeking out over that yesterday?
100%. It was interesting because I'm working on a work contract and I had it playing in the background, but then during the countdown, like a minute before, I was like, I need to. Yeah. I was like, no, I need to see this. Yeah. I was geeking out. And the cool thing is I was actually interviewing a scientist for my podcast right after, an ecologist who studies soil on Earth. And then we were talking about the fact that they're going to be bringing back soil samples from Mars for the first time. So this can be really cool.
So exciting.
Definitely.
And I remember one of the guys I had on the live feed yesterday, you could tell he was nervous. Yes. Obviously everyone's nervous, but like, because there's been some failed Mars missions. So you don't want to fail on live TV, obviously. So I was like, when that first picture came back, I was like, oh, it's like, I almost had tears in my eyes at how, yes, we've been to Mars before, but it's just so exciting to me to land on another planet. And
I actually had the tears, so I can totally relate to you on that one.
So it's really hard for me to figure out where I should even begin this conversation, because you've got an interesting history in science and marketing and art. So why don't you just give us a quick 411 about who Julie is, and we'll kind of see where we go from there.
That's always a really tough question to answer, only because I feel like I've had four different lifetimes.
Yeah.
Based on the things that I've done. So briefly, I am someone who, I never graduated from university. I went to seven different schools. I tried different majors. You know, I was somebody who had many interests when I was very young. So I decided to go into tech because I was highly skilled in technology, and it was, at the time, there were no barriers. You didn't have that many computer science students. You know, you could just get into the field, and people were getting huge bonuses. It was a great field to go into. So I did that, but I've always been artistic. So in my, 30s, a photographer came up to me and he said, "Julie, you're an artist with a camera. Let me teach you how to use it properly." So I did that. And it was interesting because I ended up really pursuing that as a fine art photographer, doing editorial work, working with a lot of actors, circus people. I lived in Montreal for 3 years. So I worked with people from Cirque du Soleil and the film industry over there. So I worked with like the best of the best, bringing them into my world, into my imagination, which was beautiful, you know? And in 2018, I lost the ability to walk very suddenly, literally over a number of days. I had no idea what was going on. My doctor ran some neurological tests, and we discovered that there was something, as he said, there's something wrong with your brain.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah, that was like, thanks, dude. So I ended up needing assistance to walk. I used a walking bike, the same one that Selma Blair is using, the Alinker. She has a multiple sclerosis. I got tested for multiple sclerosis. It was inconclusive. And then because of my tenacity and hard work, I ended up being able to walk again after 6 months.
Wow.
So after that, you know, I did what a determined person does, and I started running, barefoot running, and I started boxing, competitive boxing, and still working in technology the whole time, because I was working from home. But then I'm also a big nerd. So this is where it's hard to describe myself, right? Because I picked up a book on the microscopic world, and I bought a microscope after reading the first chapter. And I dove right into that, and I created a Twitch channel, and it went viral, and I ended up pretty much becoming a science communicator overnight, you know? So I share the microscopic world with the world, either through Twitch, although I'm on hiatus right now, but I have a website, atinyworld.org. And I just, I love sharing that because it's something that it was lacking in the science community. And it's just another passion that I've added. And to complete the story, not to get too long-winded on this, is that I lost my job last year. So I was a software manager and I lost my job, and I was like, okay, what's the next step? And, you know, one of the things that to follow this story that you need to know is that I've always had a side business. That's something I've always done. Yeah. Just like that. I love exploring different things. I have had a marketing company and all that. So now I'm in business. I have my own corporation. It's called Yippie Kaye. Inc., which is of course a reference to the Die Hard line, and that's an umbrella for all of the business activities that I do now.
So there's a lot to unpack there, obviously.
Exactly.
And I have to say, that has to be, like, I'm not a Twitcher, but that has to be one of the most unique Twitch channels out there. So I am a TikToker. And there's a couple of medical TikToks that I follow because they're different and unique. And I wouldn't call myself a nerd in that sense, but I'm super interested in just learning. The fact that you went and did that is to open it up to not only the science community, but anyone who's, you know, on Twitch, really, is just kind of a cool piece, I think, to the world we live in today.
Yeah, it was really fascinating. The reason I created the Twitch channel was because I was curious to see if somebody else was doing it, and I didn't find anybody else who was doing it. So I was like, I'm just going to try.
Yeah.
So, and also I had posted a video on Imgur, and that went viral. And when that went viral, people were telling me, please get on Twitch. And I was like, I'm already on there. I'll just do my first live stream. And since then, though, what's interesting is that there are hundreds of scientists on Twitch now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is super interesting. How do you balance all of these different things that you are passionate about and that you do find interest and enjoyment in?
Organization. That's number one. It has to be organized. It has to be organized. It has to be planned. You have to say no to a lot of things. So, I mean, COVID has been a blessing, really a blessing, because it's allowed me to focus on all the things I've been wanting to do, everything that's been on the back burner. Because when you have multiple interests and multiple projects, like I said, you need to be organized, but you need to like prioritize as well, right? So there's stuff that goes on the back burner that you can't get to until you have an event like a pandemic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I totally agree with that. We actually started a t-shirt company in April of last year, because it had been an idea kind of just floating in our heads. And then we were like, oh, there's this pandemic. What's going to be the terrible time? I was like, let's just do it. Like, let's stop. Just do it.
Yeah, for sure. You have to. Yeah, 100%. You just got to do it. And what's great about the pandemic is that people are at home. So, for example, you know, the live stream was huge because nobody had anything to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So on a recent, on your blog, you had a recent post that really caught my attention. And it was all about this idea of chaos and how you're looking forward to chaos in your life and in the world again. And you redefined chaos, so it's not like this bad thing. But I want to read you a line from that and just kind of get your thoughts on it. I live for chaos because it teaches me what's beautiful about life. Give me some more on that, because I'm going to save that for later for me, because I agree with kind of that concept of what can come from chaos.
Yeah. So for me, chaos is an environment where there is a structure, so that you can still have structure in chaos. I think that's something that people don't understand. They think it's one or the other. It's too formal or it's completely informal. That's not true. Chaos has a certain structure that it can thrive in. So for example, for an artist, it might be a certain theme, but they have the chaos and the liberty to create. So for me, I find it's more beautiful when humans are allowed to create within a specific sphere. So, you know, it can be anything. It can be creating a new scientific project. So the room and the place to experiment without too many laws in place, for example, that creates that thriving ideal space to work in. So I think that we see the best out of humans when we don't suppress them too much.
That's interesting. There's some guardrails, I'll call them, but then whatever happens in that guardrail is a good thing, right? you talked about sometimes chaos can be waking up on someone's floor, not because you had a crazy night out, but because you had an amazing night with friends. And I think I was actually having a conversation with a friend this last week about how I missed those 3-hour conversations where you don't realize it was 3 hours because it was just so amazing and challenging. And I think that's one thing that on some level we've lost with the pandemic. And I can't wait to go back to that, because that's where I grow, is in those almost chaotic moments, if I can describe it that way, where I don't know where we're going, but I want to be there.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what's this kind of camaraderie, you know, with other kind of crazy people that are just wild and wacky and eccentric. And for me, of course, I can only relate to artists when I speak about chaos, because that's the chaos I love and adore, is that kind of like Parisian cafe where you've got all these wildly talented people getting together and saying, you know, how about this? And it's that is beautiful. And I think that a lot of cities are no longer catering to that, because things like expensive rent, lack of play spaces, you know, like artists need studios, same things with creative thinkers, entrepreneurs need meeting spaces where they can meet other entrepreneurs. And so that doesn't really exist. And I don't know if the online world is as good of a substitute for it. Not yet. I think time will tell.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm lucky that we live in Des Moines, Iowa, and there's been some significant investment, both in the startup entrepreneurial community, but also for artists. So there was a developer here years ago who there was an old building. They made the investment to rehab it and then rent out spaces to artists, musicians, painters, photographers, because they saw a need in the community that they could fill. But yeah, and having lived in New York City for a period of time as well, there's a certain energy with cities like that. But you're right. If we price out that creativity, then where do they go? And how do you continue to have those communities that thrive on that that energy? So do you still get out and whip out the camera now and again?
No, that's on hold. It really is. And it's unfortunate. It's really because The bulk of my work was done in Montreal. So when I moved to Ottawa, Ottawa is the capital city of Canada. It's a very bureaucratic city. It has the nickname of the city that Fun forgot. So, you know, that's a very contentious point among Ottawans. But it is, I found it hard to find people to collaborate with in sure. Ottawa. So I pretty much hung up my camera. I have other things to do right now. And my girlfriend and I are planning to move to the East Coast of Canada. So I would like to see what possibilities open up when we move.
That's exciting. So what from all of the things that you're passionate about and you dive into, kind of what's on your radar for like, where do you want to be spending your, aside from not knowing if you're going to pick the camera up again, but like, what's kind of your current passion that you're just spending the most amount of time on?
The business.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm currently, I would say in the research phase, but soon to be in the development phase for an artisan marketplace in Canada.
Okay.
Because it doesn't really exist. There are local marketplaces online, but there's nothing really nationwide. Artisans are really suffering in Canada. They're not doing well in terms of sales and government support. I mean, small businesses have been left behind with the pandemic in general, but that's really where I'm putting my energy. I have a corporate contract I'm working on, and I also counsel individual entrepreneurs. So that's where all of my love, my passion, my focus is on right now.
Okay. I want to circle back to that, but I have a question I don't want to forget because you said that you went to 7 different colleges. What made you go back the 7th time?
So pressure. I'll be very blunt about this, is that my family never pressured me to have a degree, but they wanted me to have jobs. The pressure came from my peers and from the way that society is structured, especially in Northern Ontario, where there was this belief in the 90s that the degree was everything. It was new. It was like you need a degree to get work. And I was like, I don't know, maybe not so much in technology. So that's where I realized that actually, no, I don't need a degree.
Yeah. And that's, I'm glad you said that because I know that, so we have a 2-year-old daughter and we're saving money for college. So if she decides she wants to go, there'll be some money for her. But depending on what she goes into, there's a part of me that when she turns, you know, 10 or 12, we actually found a free coding class for 6-year-olds last night. Now she's not 6 yet, but, like who's to say that she's going to need college when she gets to that age? And we've already agreed that we will encourage her to do whatever she feels like she needs to do. And I'm sure there will be people in our circle and in our family who are going to be like, you're not sending her to college. What the hell? Like she's never going to put food on the table. I'm like, we'll figure it out.
And especially today, because I think the pressure now is to get a PhD.
Yeah.
There's a surplus of candidates with PhDs and there's not enough work for them. So I think we're going to see a massive shift in the next 10 years. We're going to see kind of like a reorg. And in terms of coding, I think we're going to have too many coders because the no code movement is coming in very swiftly. So that's going to, I think, disrupt the industry.
That's interesting. So you spent time in the tech world. What do you, since you're not in that, you know, day to day, as a manager anymore. What do you miss about that space?
Well, it's funny because the contract that I have, the corporate contract right now, is for a cybersecurity company. So I'm back in that space. So what I miss about it though, about tech in general, is the way it was before, I would say, the 2000s or let's say before the housing crash in the US.
Sure.
You know, there was a time in technology where it was really a bit of a wild, wild west, you know, where like where Google was still a search engine. It wasn't a marketing tool.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a time in tech where you could have these great ideas, be rewarded for them. Companies were well organized. There were like startups where you had this chaos, but it was like brilliantly put together. And now you have like it's everything is geared towards marketing and profit.
Yeah, and I marketing is my full time kind of where I spend the majority of my brain time, and there's a part of it that's always like, God, is this really how I want to spend, you know, my waking hours? I love it. Because for me, I view marketing as storytelling. What kind of story can I tell and how do I tell it? And obviously that drives business. But I do like, because I came into the professional world right before the housing crisis to kind of give a timeline. And I feel like it was different. But now you get into market, you know, get into the marketing world and you've got Google and you've got your four or five main social networks. You've got certain, you know, online radios, and that's what you get to play with. And so it's limited in that regard.
It's just far too competitive these days. I mean, trying to get anybody's attention is really, really difficult.
Well, and everyone copies everybody now. There's very few original ideas. And the minute someone does come up with the original idea, the big guys copy it. And then it's really difficult for those up and comers to not just be destroyed, which is disappointing.
But this is where, you know, because I also counsel clients in marketing, and this is where I usually try to find that one thing that makes them stand out. Mm. You know, like I always give the example, like if you're a shoe salesman and you also play the blues, you need to make your whole brand around the blues and your shoes, because that's the kind of thing that's going to stand out among all the other shoemakers on the internet.
Do you just hate crappy t-shirts that don't look good? They don't fit really well, and they feel old after one or two washes. I do too. That's why I'm proud to bring you this great offer from Bruck & Co. They're an awesome local shop here in Des Moines. They make incredibly unique designs. Some are kind of cheeky, some are very classic. And they're on amazingly soft t-shirts. Believe me, I have a couple of them and I love wearing them. It changes my mood when I put them on. I'm not being weird like that. It's true. So if you're looking for an awesome new shirt, new hoodie, they've got some pillows, please do check them out. They're at bruckandco.com. Link is in the show notes. And for all of my awesome listeners, little discount for you today. 10% off. Use the code LIVEITWELL when you check out. That's again, that's bruckandco.com. Awesome t-shirts. Check them out.
I'm going to ask a question. I don't know where this will go. I'm not a science guy. I try to understand it and I don't. That'll be a subject I do not help my daughter with. But what have you learned through all of your microscope journey?
What have I learned in regards to
just putting stuff under the microscope, or is it just for you? Is that just an art form? Like, kind of, how are you approaching that?
Gosh. At first, see, to me, everything I do has one underlying focus, which is curiosity.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what led me to actually buying the microscope, exploring what I could find. And then it became a little bit like, so what happened was, actually, I found tardigrades on my balcony. So tardigrades are little microscopic animals. And I found hundreds of them living in the concrete in my balcony. And these are animals that can survive dehydration, radiation. There are some on the moon by accident right now, because an Israeli spacecraft landed and crashed on the moon and they had tardigrade samples. So who knows if they're still alive? But essentially, they are kind of like, they're just so phenomenal in terms of creatures. So then I became hooked on tardigrades from a scientific perspective, like learning everything I could about them and then teaching people about tardigrades. And then it became artistic too, because I started making art with melting snow under the microscope, which is just beautiful. So it has different things, but I think the underlying theme here is curiosity and exploration.
So what are you, loaded question here, what are you curious about today?
Everything. Literally, like, I'm curious, you know, about this, like the next question you're gonna have, or I'm curious about right now, because I am, you know, in the research phase for this artisan marketplace, I'm connecting with these massive groups in Canada, like thousands of people who are blacksmiths and leather workers and carpenters and people who raise sheep so they can make stuff with their wool. And I'm like, Oh my God, this is so I'm like just deep diving into this world to, like, you know, to learn more about what it is that they need. And at the same time, I'm getting all this like access to this human ingenuity that we just undervalue every day, right? Yeah. We take it for granted. Like, I don't know who made this desk, but somebody did. know? Yeah. So yeah, that's it. Essentially, it's a little, usually it's a little thing that lights up the light bulb and I just follow it.
No, that's, I love that. And something you said before about, you know, the small businesses getting pummeled during the pandemic. I think what has not been pummeled has been the human spirit for that exploration, for finding things you're passionate about and spending time on it. And whether it's starting a business or just everyone who decided they were going to become bread makers at home. I mean, there was that sense that, okay, we're in a pandemic, but I'm still going to spend time on the things I love or that I want to love or that I've wanted to explore forever. So I think in that, while in the present moment, those creators have struggled, I think as we come out of this, those are going to be the shining stars, if you will, for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's the people who had the tenacity to really endure the kind of lack of social circles. You know, the papers are, at least in Canada, I don't know what it's like where you're at, but up here, they're always reporting about the mental health side effects. Sure. You know, people are depressed, they're not doing well, but they're not also not reporting on the people who are thriving right now. So this I find really, really interesting. And I know the media is not in the business of good news, but the point I'm trying to make is that there is always a flip side, and there are people who are thriving, who are doing really well, and who will survive this pandemic and also help others who didn't do well, you know?
That's a great way of putting that. That is a really great way of putting that. How do you ensure, given the kind of the crazy life journey that you've gone on, and the health battle that you had, how do you ensure that you live your life well every day?
Well, I think losing the ability to walk, again, because there's always a flip side, is that it gave me a new perspective. Because what happens is when you can't walk anymore, the world stops just for you, but not for anybody else. You see it go by, people are walking past you. It doesn't matter if your cane isn't helping you anymore. And you have, like, at one point I had to sit on the steps of a church because I literally, my cane wasn't enough anymore. Mm-hmm. So it was freaking me out. Sorry, your question was, how do I make sure
that you live your life well every day?
So that is what I remember, right? So this is what I always go back to, is like, if I don't feel motivated, I'm like, oh, do you remember like 2 years ago, Julie, when you couldn't walk, you know? And that's how I make sure. And also, I don't know, there's like a stoic perspective in me, I think, that enjoys the present moment and makes time for, you know, my relationship, for example. Like, I have set days in the week where it's just me and her, and we just, there's no work, there's no thinking of anything else. It's just living in the present moment while having a goal for the future is how I get things to stay the course.
That's perfect. I forgot to ask, you said you had picked up boxing in your recovery. What the hell?
I picked up BMX biking too. Okay. So I decided literally the minute my physiotherapist gave me the green light to start walking unassisted, I just decided, okay, what are all the things I've been holding out on that I haven't done, that I wasn't allowed to do when I was young, like boxing? You know, you weren't allowed to box if you were a girl. Come on now. So I joined the local competitive gym, and I worked with a coach, and I bought myself a massive BMX bike, which has like fat tires.
Yes.
And and started running barefoot with a running coach. So literally barefoot in the summer, and in the winter I would run with waterproof socks. So in the snow, which is, oh, if, I don't know if it snows where you are, but if you ever get a chance to walk in your socks in snow, it is awesome. It's so much fun.
I feel like that would be really cold.
Not if you're wearing wool. So okay. I don't know. I don't do the barefoot running anymore. Just because, you know, I live downtown and it's too much of a pain running on salt and all that, but I do it when I go to the country. So when I move, I'm hoping to resume that.
Okay. That's I've never done the boxing thing. I had a back injury, boy, it would have been 15 years ago now, which really kind of ended my tennis career, which is what my physical outlet was. And that's when I picked up running. It's like, I got to do something. I'm not good at basketball or baseball, you know, so I was like, I'll just run. So I get the need to do the things that you'd never done before.
Just a quick note, sorry, on the boxing thing is I highly recommend it for everyone. It doesn't matter how old you are. And the thing they found with boxing is there's research now that shows that it helps people with Parkinson's. So now you see all these programs sprouting up for older people to do boxing because it helps, I don't know the scientific side of things, but it definitely helps them with coordination.
Yeah.
But also there's a lot of anger right now, and it has been for the past few years. And there's nothing better for you than punching a punching bag. You will always be happy after punching a punching bag.
That's good advice. I love it. Well, if people want to follow you, follow anything you're doing, give us all the URLs and handles that you want people to track you down at.
Yeah, just use the websites and then you can go from there. So for science, it's atinyworld.org. The podcast that I do where I interview artists and scientists is planetb612.fm. So that's a nod to the little prince, of course, with asteroid B612, which is where he lived. And coffeewithjulie.net is where I do a lot of the business marketing stuff. And lastly, my personal website, julielaurin.com, where it's pretty much an amalgamation of everything I do, plus some personal blog articles.
Well, Julie, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I feel like if we were in the same city, we would be coffee buddies or drink buddies.
I think we'd hang out for sure. Yes. Yeah.
If I ever get up to Canada and get up to the countryside, we'll definitely connect.
Sounds good. You're always invited, and I'll do the same.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Live It Well podcast. That is my life motto, live it well, and I hope that by you listening to this podcast, you are being inspired to live your life as best as you can. If you loved it, please go to where you're listening, Apple, Google, Spotify, leave us a rating. Obviously, 5 stars the best, but the ratings really help people find stories like this, and so I really appreciate that. If you want to go follow me online, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, at Richard Dedor, or this podcast has an Instagram account, Live It Well Podcast. And if you want to find me on Facebook, it's facebook.com/richard.m.dedor. The links are in the show notes. Again, thank you so much for listening to this show. If you need a speaker for your virtual or in-person event, please go to my website at richarddedor.com and check out the different speeches and keynotes and workshops that I have ready to go to inspire your team, inspire your teammates, inspire your staff. I'm ready to go, and I know you are too. So again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Live It Well podcast, and I leave you with my message. I hope you live it well.